Years ago, I was in a conversation with Brother Irvin Lee. And we were talking about various Bible concepts. And I asked him, I said, Brother Lee, why do people fall away? Why do people sin? And I was expecting some deep thinking, perhaps, and he looked at me and he said, well, that's simple. He said, they lose their faith. In accord with the prayer of our brother this evening, I want to talk about the preservation of our faith based upon the concept spoken of in Hebrews 10 and verse 39, the faith that saves the soul. I really appreciate the presence of everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you as we've had this opportunity this week. I am sorry that my physical circumstances has limited my visitation with you, but I assure you a person can live on Gatorade and chicken broth off of noodle soup. I appreciate the people in Cullman County. I preached in this area a lot in terms of gospel meetings, and encourage you to continue in your faith and your labor of love. Glad to see the Jacksons here from some of a road in Decatur, and I worked there for a number of years. Now, Bobby, a pretty good while ago, when our girls were younger in high school and so on, and they're all grown up now. I appreciate their work and their faithfulness. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse number 36. Hebrews 10, 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, the phrase has meaning particularly in view of the purpose of the book of Hebrews. It seems that there were Jews that obeyed the gospel and had fallen away, going back into Judaism. It is in this regard that this book was written, with the intention of showing them the better things that God had planned for people in Jesus Christ. And thus the quotes from the Old Testament that we read just a moment ago, that they needed to be patient. They needed to wait because that which was coming would come. And he encouraged them not to fall away. In the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, as his discussion is progressing, he's warning them, as he does frequently in the book, Hebrews 4:1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Everyone that obeys the gospel has the desire and the intent to go forward and envisions himself in heaven. Why don't people make it? Well, he gives the illustration here of the Old Testament people. They didn't have enough faith. They didn't get the faith with the Word of God that they needed to persevere. The just shall live by faith. Not in doubt, but in the exercise of a calm and trusting life in God. There's no reason for us to be living on pins and needles. This is not arrogance. This is not assumption. But it is, in fact, the nature of the plan of God that people can know what to do, and that in doing that, they can develop confidence. We shouldn't live in fear. Nor should we draw back. Soul-saving faith is that which is going to sustain us in the times of need. That which is going to keep us from doing what we should not do, and continuing to do what we ought to do. Look at the book again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It is absolutely unnecessary for us to grasp what this verse has to say. Faith, not by definition, but in relationship to the human soul, in relationship to the inner man, is that which supplies what we need to know, to understand. When I was in college and even in high school, we did experiments or we did demonstrations or had them that showed what was happening. And in the process of watching that demonstration, we were supposed to understand some process, some chemical equation, some mathematical or physical expression of work or expending of energy and things like that. So that when we watched it, we would understand it and we would know it. That's how we learn. That's not what faith is about. And it is here where people are challenged and where we need to understand who we are and what we're doing in this life. Now, faith is the substance. It's more than confidence. By it we enjoy things as being present, non-entities, things that through this concept of faith are just as real as if we laid our hands on it. That is, things hoped for. That's heaven. Do you believe in heaven? Do you envision some concept of a place that is the home of the soul? It doesn't have to be a physical manifestation, a vision that we could see little details about. But faith is to supply heaven just as surely as real as that house that you will go to this evening, that bed that you will lay your head on, just as real, though it is a non-entity in our physical world. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. This dual parallelism here is given as a proof. It embraces all the past, the present, and the future about which the Holy Spirit has formed and borne witness of. Because it is said, we believe it. Because though we do not have the empirical evidence of it, we see it. It's just as real as it could be. In the third verse of this chapter, he seemingly illustrates this great concept. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. If there ever was a controversy that has lingered for centuries, millenniums, it is in terms of the origin of life. And where did we come from? Where did this earth come from? To the Christian who has faith, he knows. Simply in Genesis 1 and verse 3, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. I didn't see it happen. But I know that there are things today on this earth that I see that were made from things that did not exist. How do you know that? Faith. When I went to the University of Florida, there were a great deal of skeptics there. I had one teacher that was downright aggravating in her atheistic impressions. But this is what I always maintain. I always, even the professor, I said, let's go to the lab. And you demonstrate to me what you're teaching me to be fact. And she said, oh, I can't. And I said, what do you mean you can't? She said, I believe that's the way it happened. And I looked at her and it affected my grade, no doubt. And I said, you have faith that it happened this way. I have faith that it happened this way. Don't let anybody laugh at you for having faith. Nobody was there. Nobody by scientific method can reproduce the creation, can bring forth life. Oh, if they could, not only would they win the Nobel Prize, but just imagine the glee and the frivolity and the cheering and the partying. That would be done by people if they could prove the Bible record wrong. But the best they can muster is to say, we believe it happened this way. Well, I know how it happened. By faith. Just the way God said it happened. And that is the kind of faith that you need. It is the kind of faith that will see you through the ups and downs of life. It is the kind of faith that will lead you not only in your day-to-day living, but ultimately lead you to heaven. Now, look at verse 6 of Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The faith that is being talked about here is my faith, your faith. It's not the embodiment of faith that Jude talks about in verse 3 when he says, earnestly contend for the faith, the embodiment of truth. But it is my response. It is my answer. It is my action. It is my guidance. It is my life. It is what I believe I ought to be doing. They that seek God must believe that He is. I know God exists by faith. I know that He has a home prepared for the saints. I know that my life is being spent in the way that it should. Don't you? Don't you have that kind of faith? Look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter. As it is suggested here, that the people that God sets forth in His record, the Bible, as lives for us to copy, people to study about, to learn about, and to listen to their stories. You and I need to grasp that. Well, unlike me, the battery of this speak has died. But I think I still got enough juice, Brother Pinkston, to finish. Let's talk about these people. And look at them, you study the remainder that we don't talk about in such a way as to see the illustrations of what it means to have soul-saving faith. The faith that saves a soul is a faith that offers sacrifice. The illustration is with Abel, Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. You and I see here a story from the Old Testament. A story that is taught little children. But let's notice there in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Abel offered his sacrifice of the first of the flock. Cain offered his sacrifice of the first fruits of the ground. And the Lord, Genesis 4:4, the last part, had respect unto Abel and his offerings. Why was that? A lot of times people get the wrong idea about this story, thinking that, well, you know, God preferred, or it just seemed like that's what should have been done. Or something like that. That's not the case. You and I need to use and understand this passage and the ability to infer from the Scriptures what is taught here. The key is said in the phrase, by faith, Abel. In Romans 10 and verse 17. So then, faith comes of hearing, and the hearing of the Word of God. Soul-saving faith is based upon the Word of God. I infer from that idea of these three passages in Hebrews, in Romans, and in Genesis that God told them what to do. He told them the kind of sacrifice to offer. Else why could he have respect for Abel? Or how could Abel do it by faith? Faith comes of hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. He acted as God told him to do. And you and I need to realize that our actions are to be based upon the Word of God. That God would have us to do things. That God would have us to understand. In Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God expects us to make a sacrifice. He's commanded us to do so. And we should, by faith, respond in that way to the commandments of God. In Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Of these characters of the Old Testament, Noah is quite notable. And what is said about him emphasizes that soul-saving faith will heed the warning of God. God warned Noah. And Noah responded. He responded not even having seen before what God told him was going to happen. That's faith. For prior to the flood, it had not rained as we know of rain today on the earth. For prior to this, the earth was watered with a mist. And so when God said it's going to rain and the earth is going to be flooded, Noah had the option of laughing, scoffing like the neighbors around him, or to build an ark. You and I need to recognize that that's what faith is. That when we're warned of God, we build an ark. There is in this book of Hebrews, notice chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse number 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? We need to heed the warnings of God. Never take the disposition, oh, it won't happen to me. Every little step that God has given us the opportunity and even commanded us to do needs to be followed explicitly, without reservation, taking heed to the warning, lest our faith slowly slip away. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not the forsaking of ourselves together, as not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. It's a passage that has been hammered to death in many ways, and it's not my idea to give an exegesis of that passage, but just to look at the simple, obvious thing. The faith that saves the soul is a faith that doesn't forsake the assembling of God's people. Consider the fact that Thomas missed the gathering of the disciples when Jesus appeared to them. He expressed the most classic lack of faith. He said, "Except my eyes see, or except my hands feel or touch, I will not believe." Later, Jesus said, "Put your hand forth," so he could know. And Jesus rebuked him. He said that those that would come later and believe without the physical touching were the blessed ones. That's you and I. Jesus rose from the dead. I know he did. I believe by faith. I understand it. Heed the warnings of God. How important is one assembly? How important is heaven? Don't get excited. Don't accuse me of saying something that I didn't say. I didn't say that if you miss one assembly, you're not going to heaven. I didn't say that. But what if it was an assembly where something special happened? And those that were gathered here had their faith just increased and authenticated and experienced great joy. You missed it. You missed it. How much can you miss? Then our lives becomes, how much can I get away with not doing and still be pleasing in the sight of God? Faith that saves the soul is going to heed the warnings of God, and it will stand different in the world which it is seen. By building an ark, automatically, he condemned everybody that didn't have an ark. Ever thought about that? They knew it. He's building an ark. We don't need one, though. It's never flooded. If you come to this building and people see your car every time these doors are open, they're going to say, "He really thinks that that's what he ought to do." What you're doing is you're condemning those that don't have faith. Not intentionally necessarily, but the opposite of faith is unbelief. And when you exhibit faith, you expose those that don't have it, whether you like it or not. And when you begin to show people something they don't have, they're going to talk about you. They're going to try to put you down. But knowing the warning of God and believing the truth of God, you'll keep right on going. You'll build your ark. In the 8th verse, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't have a road map. He had never been. He just went. Now, today we might consider that a rather foolish idea. I know people that when they go to make a trip, they've got their printouts of every turn to make. They've got that little box, a GPS, they've got it turned on. And they're following all of these things. Those are not available to heaven necessarily. Like Abraham, we just strike out. You've never been through this life before. You've never lived in this world before. And you've got the option of following the directions of God or trying to go it by yourself. Now, I realize that is an obvious simplification, boys, but that's what it's about. Oh, you'll go to school along the way and you'll do some things and a job, but your ultimate goal, the ultimate road that you're going down, is the road to heaven, and you're following the world. Through this world, through this earth, on this earth, by yourself, oftentimes. The world around you, in terms of people, they're not going that direction. They don't believe you know what you're doing at times. But the Lord said, come out from among them. Be ye separate. I will be your God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What do we see here as a characteristic of soul-saving faith? It is a faith that follows direction. Sort of reminds me of that commercial that was on TV when I lived in Alabama. I think the fellow was selling Dodge trucks. I'm not remember, but he had this big red rooster on there, and he said, if I say he can pull a wagon, just hitch him up. If God says do it, let's follow the directions. There they stood before the Red Sea, backed to the Red Sea, trapped by the Pharaoh's army. And God said, do what? Take that rod and lead the children across. And he did it. And they did it. And when Pharaoh and his army tried to do it, they were drowned. Just followed directions. Just followed directions. Rahab. Who would imagine that just putting a scarlet cord out a window would save her and her family? She believed it. She believed it enough to put that cord out, and she survived. We are given instructions, we're given commandments that are not necessarily always explainable. We may not arrive at the same conclusion by a process of reasoning and discussing. And that's where brethren get in trouble. Partaking of the Lord's Supper. Let's do it. Living godly and modesty in this present world. Let's do it. God said so. Being fellows, sharing together, loving one another. Let's do it. Oh, but Brother Andrews, it can get complicated. We make it complicated. Simplistic faith. I'll do what God says do, no matter the implications it has in my day-to-day living, what the world thinks of it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what God says do. By faith, they did a lot of things. And by faith, a lot of people that we knew have lived their lives, though they be gone now. By faith, we believe things about them, perhaps, but of our own selves, we need to believe enough that with Paul we can say, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do you know how God made the earth? Your grandchildren do, if you'll read them the story. And if you will build that simple trust in that story, if their parents will give them the opportunity to study the Word and show them an example of what godly living is, they'll know what to do to be a Christian. They'll know how to live their lives and look forward to heaven. Think about it. And as you're here this evening, motivated by faith in the God of heaven, needing to be baptized into Christ, we bid you come. If your sins are such that you need to make a public confession and repent of them, won't you come as we stand?